KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Don Amdor, the president of the Del Norte Gun Club in Albuquerque, is here with us in studio. Hi, Don.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
This is going to be a fun show because we're going to talk about shooting sports. You've got families involved. We're going to talk about handgun safety, rifle safety, all of that good stuff. So, yeah, this will be, and it's also not without its own controversy, is it?
No, it's not. There's lots of it.
And being the president of the Del Norte Gun Club entails all of this. It entails the fun. You have to answer questions. You get scrutinized. And that's why you're here today.
Yes, absolutely. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Yeah. Tell us about the fun you have in shooting sports.
I have tons of fun. It is, it's a passion of mine that I found later in life, which I wish I had found it sooner.
Well, you're only, what, 25?
Yes, 25 and holding. But yeah, I mean, definitely grew up around firearms. You know, my father definitely introduced us to hunting, things like that in the outdoors, but nothing like what happened when I met my husband and we started shooting together. So that's kind of where it started, and we hunted together, I guess, is the first place, but then we wanted to become better shooters.
Don, I think there's people that hear the word gun or they hear the word shooting.
Yes.
And they're hearing all the bad news on the news.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand the safety, the discipline, the fun, the exhilaration.
Absolutely.
What's it like to shoot a .44 Magnum?
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
Absolutely. Or to shoot, you know, just about anything, some type of, you know, rifle that you've never shot. I've shot rifles from World War II. That is just, to think of the history behind that rifle and then be able to shoot it is incredible. So being the president is not without its benefits.
Yeah, that's good. Have you been able to shoot with people that may have never shot a handgun or a rifle and then watch their reaction?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the most fun things I've done as an instructor, which I don't get to do a lot of nowadays. But really, as you know, when I started and I was doing instructing, to have especially a woman come in and not ever handled a firearm before and have just this timid, you know, kind of hunched over position in class when we're talking about safety, but then to really get her out there on the range and to watch this person just bloom into someone that you wouldn't have known. And they fall in love with it. And I have lots of ladies who have followed me through the years, and I've watched them not just grow in their shooting, but it's given them a new confidence in life that they've grown from. So I think that's just completely rewarding. Children are another thing. Kids, introducing them correctly, you know, and kind of getting rid of some of the myths that they've heard from people and friends and things like that, to get them out there and really let them experience what it's like and not on a video game. Definitely a plus.
Yeah, and I think people don't understand the discipline of firearm safety.
Absolutely.
And it's extensive. And it's a way of life. It's not a bunch of rules. It's a way of life. People that I know that have been trained properly are so careful. And I would say it's much more dangerous operating a car.
Yes.
You know, it's funny, too, because I get a little nervous. There's a few things that I have problems with. Like, I have a few problems with people that might get a concealed carry license, but they don't really do any training.
Yes.
I mean, I have problems with that because you're not allowed to drive a car
until
you've got 50 hours of experience with mom and dad.
Right.
And boy, if you could get people with 50 hours of experience shooting, it would make a big difference.
Right. And that is where my kind of part of my instructor and my path started was we had a home invasion, and I knew where the handgun was. And so, you know, luckily nothing, you know, came of it. They ran away and nothing happened. But I thought to myself, I need to be better at this. So I went and got my concealed carry thinking, that's a great place to head.
Mm-hmm.
I left that class thinking, okay, I just qualified and now I'm going to be carrying around, you know, a firearm, and I don't think I'm prepared. Some people might. They might have had more training than me. But that's kind of where it started. So for me, the training began there. And I'm a lifelong learner. So if I get into something, I really get into it.
Well, let's go back to the fun part. I didn't know this before we started visiting, before you came in today, or just when you got here today, before the show started. You're actually a competitor in shooting sports.
I am. That's my probably my favorite part is competitive shooting. It is, you know, not only does it give you what we call trigger time, but it also is out there. There's camaraderie. You know, yes, it's a game. It's, you know, not a real life scenario, but it's such a great time to be around like-minded people and people who just enjoy being out shooting firearms and all different kinds.
What are some of the forms of competition?
So my love right now is three gun, and three gun is actually three different platforms, both a handgun, a rifle, and a shotgun. It's all put together into a stage. There's different types, you know, ones where you're actually, you know, moving, gosh, sometimes an upwards of a quarter mile through, like, different terrain, shooting at targets throughout this particular terrain. And then there's a what we call a bay shoot, which means if you think of a traditional shooting bay, there's different types of things, you know, set up, whether it's steel or paper, and you utilize three different firearms to complete a course of fire is what they call it. So that's what I'm really into. We do defensive pistol, International Defensive Pistol Association, which is just a handgun competition. It's based off of time and accuracy. So your target is actually marked zero down, one down, three down. So as you're going through your course of fire, multiple different targets, you try to get all the zeros down. Because if you get one, you get a second added on. So those are just two of multiple competitions out there.
Okay, so I don't know how to do this without sounding chauvinistic. But you're the president of a gun club, and you're a woman.
I am.
There's not a lot of women that are presidents of gun clubs.
There is not a lot of women who are presidents of gun clubs. And it's been not just a struggle for me, but a growth opportunity for me. When I was elected, suckered, I call it, into the position, I just thought about it as my passion of shooting, but it became so much more. It became so much about the people and about the culture and the history of shooting and about Del Norte Gun Club. So running that as a business and being successful and really making it, you know, what the members want and making it fun. We've done so many things out there that make it so much more fun for families, for women, you know, just for people in general.
Talk to us about the Del Norte Gun Club. It's a nonprofit?
Yes, we are a 501c4, so we are a nonprofit. So really our membership is really what drives us. We do competitions, but really our membership is what keeps us really going. So we're about 1,500 members, but you can go out there on any day. We're on over 700 acres, and we do cater to pretty much every shooting sport you can think of, including archery. So we have everything from close-in pistol bays. We have over 30 position rifle positions. We have a 2 and 300. We go out to 1,000 yards on a steel and a known distance range.
Now, I have never shot anything at 1,000 yards, but I have shot at about just 300 feet. So that's 100 yards.
Yes.
And I've never shot anything that far, and it is very cool to actually be able to hit something from that far away.
Oh, yes, absolutely. 1,000 yards is, and we have precision rifle, which is one of the competitions, but it's actually a growing sport. A lot of people are really getting into the precision rifle game. So they can shoot very small targets at very long ranges, and now they're getting into more of an extreme long distance, which is sometimes up to 2 miles. They do that up at the Whittington Center, at the NRA Whittington Center in Raton. So it's the marksmanship is incredible, and the guns make a difference, absolutely.
But, and there's a challenge, and you got to know about weather conditions, which I think is probably unique in New Mexico because our weather changes about every 10 minutes.
Oh, absolutely. And out at our gun club, I mean, the guys always laugh because when they do their precision rifle match, you know, the wind will be 25 miles an hour, which is not good for them. So, yeah, in the spring, they don't like to shoot it, but they get out there and do it because that's the challenge.
Okay, where is the Del Norte Gun Club?
So we actually sit in Sandoval County, but we are west and north of City Center, Rio Rancho. So we're out King Road, good 15 miles. So okay. We're out in the middle of nowhere, which is where Gun Club is good.
Where you want to be.
Yes. So we're out there.
And people, if you want to take your family out there, mm-hmm. and I'm going to ask you about the process and some of those things that you do that, because you just don't sign up as a member and now you can use the range. There's some safety. There's some training that you need.
Absolutely. So, you know, people can go online. They can contact our phone numbers. We have a website.
Go ahead and give those.
So www.ndngcnm.com is our website. Our phone number is 505-933-0775, and we have a membership coordinator who takes care of a lot of that for us. You would join either online or by contacting our membership coordinator. You then are required to go to our orientation class. Mm. It's about a four-hour class. It goes through a lot of safety on the gun, you know, on the gun range. How do we use ranges? What ranges can I use with different types of guns? Because there's definitely places that you can shoot a pistol, but you may not shoot a rifle. And this is one of the things that I've grown, is learned about these different firearms, feet per second, different types of bullets. So that's really what I've learned from the gun club, is how this stuff all comes together.
But, you know, what I think is going to be fun is if you take your high school students with you.
Yes.
And you do a family event.
Yeah.
You might be frustrated that the kids learn faster than you do.
Absolutely. Or that your wife learns faster than you do.
There you go. There you go. So is this becoming more interesting, and is there just a larger amount of interest now among women?
I think so. I think you're starting to see women really feel like they can get out there and really be successful at it, and that they're good at it. I mean, women are multitaskers, and that's what it takes, is a lot of multitasking. So I think you'll see, you know, if you really want your wife to get involved, let her get out there and just experience it. And I think I was blessed to have a husband who, he took me out there, and he wasn't, you know, this hardcore, you know, you're going to do this and this and this. He was safety-wise very much oriented, but he kind of let me lead my own path. And he, you know, he supports me in all the crazy things that I've done. So, you know, and he'll fix my guns and load my ammo. And
yeah.
But he's not going to tell me how to do the stuff. He's kind of let that go.
but there are, you know, safety measures. Absolutely. Everybody follows the rules. Everybody Absolutely. Does all this. So, again, give us your website. And the phone number is 933-0775.
Correct. It's dngcnm.com.
Okay.
So Del Norte Gun Club, NewMexico.com.
NewMexico.com.
Yeah.
And annual memberships, memberships?
We have multiple different memberships depending on age. We have a senior membership. We have a individual membership, which is $180 a year. Our senior memberships are $120 a year. Your initial orientation fee is $100, so that's just paid up front. And then your annual fee kicks in after that.
And that kind of helps you take care of the class. Again, it's a nonprofit organization.
Correct. And you will receive a badge, things like that.
How do you schedule yourself on the range?
So the range is open, basically sun up to sundown. There's certain hours that we are closed on Wednesday mornings for maintenance. You have a key card, so everything is monitored by that key card. So as long as your key card is active and your membership is active, you can wand onto that range and go through. You know, go do whatever it is you're out there.
Is this pretty much something people do year-round,
when
it's colder?
Absolutely. Right now, we're at our busiest time. Just people sighting and hunting rifles, getting ready for archery season. So this is a really busy time on the range that we start to see. So
good stuff. We've got Dawn Amdor in studio. She's the president of the Del Norte Gun Club, and she's smiling at me already because she didn't realize. I told her this would go fast, so we're already through the first segment. We'll be back with Dawn and more about women shooting and men, too. It's a lot of fun. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Pastor Scott Tom, host of the Bible Answer program, No Other Doctrine. We have a college to train you for ministry. You can train at ccfcollege.com, but every 2 years, I personally train up 50 men. It is low cost and only one night a week. It starts in August. Men, get more info at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org or call 990-7588.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Noah's Ark Explorer from the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can you tell us anything new about the search for Noah's Ark?
Chris, the search for Noah's Ark is always on the minds of that set of people that have Ark fever, and I'm one of them. I've been involved in the search for Noah's Ark since 1970 and have led numerous expeditions to Mount Ararat. In the last 15 years or so, hardly anybody has legally been on Mount Ararat. We have, however, been able to search from satellite photography, but with no firm indication that the Ark has been found. The Bible does not predict that the Ark will be found, so we don't have that to look to, but we do have a lot of evidence. Hundreds of people claim to have seen the Ark, but we just don't have any proof. A lot of smoke, but no fire. The Ark did exist, that we're told back in Genesis, but does it exist today? Maybe.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. You know, we live in the United States of America in a great state called New Mexico because we have such a diverse, you know, we have great weather here. We have mountains, we have desert, we have all kinds of cool stuff. Absolutely. That's probably one of the reasons you like it here, too.
I do. In fact, I went to California for a little while and I was back.
You were back.
It sucked me back
There's
in.
No open space there. Like, I have children that live in San Diego, mm-hmm. and I have one in the studio here that wants to be back in San Diego. That's another topic for another day. But it is beautiful there, and the weather's awesome. But there's no space.
No.
You want to go to the beach, where are you going to park?
Right. And there's people everywhere.
Everywhere. And I do like the open spaces, and I miss it here. Yeah. And I'd love for our state to be safe. Mm-hmm. I'd love to get rid of the crime and all of these things. And you have this in mind as you are even training for self-defense.
Absolutely.
And these all. So we have to get into politics a little bit.
Yes.
And I want to read something that I didn't know was happening. Mm-hmm. We live in a democratic republic. The reason it is a republic is we don't believe in majority rule. Mm-hmm. We believe that individuals need to be represented as well as large groups. None of our appointed officials, our president, our governors, they're not supposed to go do whatever they want. But here's something interesting. August 11th of this year, the state of New Mexico has banned gun shows from state-owned facilities like Expo New Mexico. The Manuel Lujan building has been the home of several large
Absolutely.
Gun shows. And all of a sudden, it's no longer available to do that. Well, here's what's interesting. You can go to the State Fair Commission, which the Manuel Lujan building, Expo New Mexico, was all under the auspices and management of the State Fair Commission.
Yeah.
You can go review all of their board meeting minutes, and a lot of this was done during COVID, so some of it was remote.
Right.
But go all the way back to September of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot find any discussion about banning these events from Expo New Mexico. And for that matter, and I've not done the research, but I'm sure if you go look at the Socorro Fairgrounds and the Artesia Fairgrounds and you name it, you're not going to find anybody that's discussed this. Yet the state of New Mexico has banned mm-hmm. these events. Politically, what is going on in our state, Dawn?
Well, I think for some reason, we think that doing things that make us feel good are the way that we're going to accomplish a goal, which is really not how we do that. It might feel good to ban the gun show. You think those guns are not going to get out on the streets because you think they're coming from the gun show when really they're not. But it feels good.
And yeah, the bottom line is they're blaming gun shows for guns being in the hands of bad guys.
Right.
Well, what's the logic? What is the data for that? I mean, there is none.
There is none. I mean, a criminal is a criminal. A criminal, if they want to get a gun, they're going to get a gun. You're going to ban a gun show where most of the vendors have an FFL. They have to be background checked. You know, this criminal is most likely not going there to get their gun. They're going down on Central to their friend who stole it, whatever they did, they're buying it from there. And there's no background check going to happen.
And by the way, Don, I don't have any problem getting on the case of actual gun owners. If you've got guns in your drawer, or you keep a gun in your car completely unlocked, and you know you're passing that on to people. You know, it's like, don't leave your purse in the car. Well, don't leave your gun in the car.
We have to be, as gun owners, we have to be more responsible about what we do. There's different things you can do to secure firearms. There's lots of different methods. But making us part of the problem is not always going to help our situation. Mm. The politics of it are, you know, it's always going to be a back and forth on the politics. We know for a fact that in the 30-day session that's coming up, there are going to definitely be some issues that are going to affect gun owners of all different, you know, levels. As a competitive shooter, you know, I don't want a 10-round limited magazine capacity. That does nothing. It may make the legislature feel good, but it does nothing for preventing the crime that's on the streets. Whether they have a 10-round mag or a 30-round mag, evil is evil, and they're going to obtain that gun and shoot somebody, whether they have 10 rounds or 30. The types of legislation that are coming through are not going to fix our problems.
This is speculative, but I think it's also true. A lot of people that are making up these rules have never shot a gun.
Probably don't own, don't shoot, have
I'm just saying, okay, if you want to take this stand, at least go out at the Del Norte Gun Club range.
Absolutely.
And I would be willing to bet, Don, no matter what their political stance, if they wanted to come out and try it, you'd figure out how to show them what's going on.
Absolutely. I am open to that. I have taken people out who have been completely anti-gun. They have come from groups that, you know, they have tried to legislate most of our rights away as gun owners. And I've taken them out there. And to watch their faces, I wish I could have videotaped it and, you know, broadcast it, but I would never do that. But just to introduce them and show them how this works, how this tool is utilized, was an eye-opener for them. It really was. And I think a few of them changed their minds about some of the things that they advocated for just by going out and doing it.
You know, I've read comments about people that talked about World War II. And, of course, we know about Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor and I'm not going to make any political statements. I mean, I think there's ways that could have been avoided. Mm-hmm. You know, the United States just habitually does things crazy. I think that's true with the Vietnam War. I mean, there's just all kinds of things that we could do through diplomacy, through hardline stands, through compassion. I mean, there's just ways we could do better. And we can't go back. We can rehash all of that. Not going to go back, but we should learn from what we've done wrong. And let's move forward. That's why I'm fascinated with how we can mess up Afghanistan so badly. I mean, okay, what did we learn in the previous 40 years or 50 years? And again, I'm making different political statements now, and I don't mean to do that. But, you know, wisdom and understanding is something that you gain from listening to people, getting experience, doing all of those different things.
Absolutely. And I think coming together, you know, there's obviously two different sides, the anti-gun and the pro-gun side. There's, you know, there are solutions that both of our sides have, but no one's willing to listen to each other. And maybe if we came together a little bit, we might solve some of these problems a lot faster than just, you know, throwing out, you know, unnecessary bannings of things.
Yeah. And, you know, I think to driving in New Mexico, you know, New Mexico has a reputation for not great drivers.
No.
And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, does that have anything to do with the way we train drivers? I don't know, but I know that there's a solution. Mm-hmm. And I know that training and education and experience is, for example, I think that it would be great to take a big parking lot somewhere and flood it with water and have student drivers drive 40 miles an hour on that water
to learn
what happens to your car when it hydroplanes.
Absolutely.
I think that would be really helpful.
Yes.
Why don't we do that? And again, I'm just throwing ideas out there. I'm just wanting to have a conversation.
Which is the same thing about guns. I mean, learning about guns is probably one of the best things we can do. And we have shielded children from any type of gun safety education because it's scary to people that, you know, here these kids are playing video games thinking that they can hit the reset button and they've just killed 50 people on their online game. the reality is there's no reset button when you have a real gun in your hand. So that education and understanding about that tool would be, I think, it would be incredible.
I just thought of something that's not on my list of topics, so you'll have to forgive me in advance. I think you're not going to have any problem with thinking about this. But when we watch movies, does it ever bug you the irresponsible way handguns are handled in movies?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you look at that like, oh, my gosh, no one would ever handle it that way. No law enforcement or anything else. Nobody's going to shoot at a crowd of a bad guy standing in front of a crowd of nice people.
Right.
But in the movies, that's always true. Don, how much, you know the anti-gun lobby coming out of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
But why does almost, I bet you there's 70-plus percent of all movies have irresponsible gun use in them. And that's got to be influencing people the wrong way.
Oh, we see people all the time who come out and we call it Charlie's Angels, or, you know, they're sweeping a gun around, sweeping themselves, you know, turning a different direction in a bay that's not safe because they've watched these movies. And the most influential are the kids who are watching these movies and seeing these things happen. There are some responsible responsible movie people out there, and they actually train the actors like this is really happening. And so you see that type of gun usage. It's not common, but it does happen. But I think, yeah, people watch the movies and they think guns are like the movies, and they're, you know, most of the time not.
Well, I know that you always treat a handgun, for example,
mm-hmm.
as it's loaded.
Absolutely.
You don't ever flag anybody with it. You don't ever, even if you check in and double check it, you don't ever aim
Mm-mm.
a gun at somebody.
Right.
And I know people that I went to with some friends of ours.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a gun show, and it actually wasn't a gun show. Now that I think about it, it was actually an auction
okay.
for a charitable organization.
Okay.
Well, they had a Colt revolver mm-hmm. that is like a 1940s mm-hmm. style gun like you would have seen in a lot of the Westerns. And I'll never forget this. We're standing around and the auction, you know how before you go to a banquet, you're walking around and look at all the auction
right,
items.
Right.
Well, somebody picked up that revolver
mm-hmm.
and started waving it around. And all of us who were, you know,
right.
people that have some experience shooting, I almost had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy went up very professionally. Fortunately, he was law enforcement,
okay.
so he knew exactly what to say. And he literally grabbed the guy's wrist, mm-hmm. took the gun out of his hand, and said, "Sir, until you have some instruction on how to handle a firearm, do not touch this again."
Right, right.
I mean,
good
it was
him.
It was scary.
Yeah, good for him.
And not because it was loaded or anybody was going to get shot, but
right.
there, when you really learn safety,
mm-hmm.
You are so concerned with everybody's safety that it directs everything that you do.
Absolutely.
And what a nice thing it would be if our drivers
mm-hmm.
would consider their car a loaded weapon. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. And I think, like we were talking about, education is, you know, imperative. And I think throughout the years, I just have constantly tried to educate myself, take different classes, not just self-defense, but different classes about range safety. And I think that education makes you, you know, such a better gun owner, and it also makes you a better person as far as how you relay that information to people. We have lots of people on the range who don't have that experience. So to be able to walk up to them in a non-confrontational tone and say, "Hey, let me show you how this, you know, how this will work better for you." You know, rather than screaming at them,
yeah.
"Quit turning around," that type of stuff. So I think, like I said, education is imperative. And we try to help people at the range. We really do. We have a great training staff. We have some great commercial users. And they really, really...
When you say commercial users,
mm-hmm.
there's church security teams
we have
that use
them.
Your range.
Absolutely.
You have private security companies.
Yes.
You have law enforcement that are out there practicing?
We have lots of law enforcement. We have all kinds. We have military that come out. They utilize the range. We also have users that are private contractors who will bring, you know, have classes out there for specific things, you know, precision rifle, learning ARs, handgun classes, concealed carry. So we have, you know, different people who we can get that information out to you as a member so that you can pursue that education yourself.
I'm thinking about the movie Forrest Gump. And you know, Forrest Gump was a unique individual. Mm-hmm. But I remember the part where they were breaking down their military rifles.
The rifles.
And he'd do it in like 30 right. seconds. And yes. everybody else is like still struggling to get it together. But, you know, that's the way his mind worked. And
right.
what, was he autistic? Was he a savant? I don't know.
Right.
But that was part of the comedy, if you will.
Yes.
But if you really think about it, it wasn't comedic. It was like, this guy's really good at this.
Absolutely.
And you train, people learned how to do that. You break down so
Absolutely.
You can clean your firearm correctly, both
Absolutely.
Rifles, handguns,
Absolutely.
All of that kind of stuff.
That's all part of it. I mean, that really is part of being a gun owner, is learning. And that was one of my things that I really wanted to take that apart. Now, I love it when he cleans it now, but but that was part of learning how it really operated, you know, and getting into the inner parts of that and, you know, being part of that process. So,
Don, I think there's women out there listening that might want to know about husband training. And you could give us some good insight about that.
Let's see, 25 years of marriage this month.
There
so.
You go. Congratulations.
But yeah. But don't say I have plotted his murder every once in a while.
I didn't. every single couple, and this is what you don't know before you get married, it takes work.
It does take work.
To be married.
Absolutely.
And I like to just have couples on to talk about things they do, things they faced. And mm-hmm. a lot of people, you know, we believe in the faith community that our weaknesses become God's strength.
Yes.
And that he uses us to minister to people when we're just open and right. honest about, yeah, we blew it here.
Yep.
And you share that, and wow, all of a sudden that makes it so somebody else listening goes, yeah, I probably shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we should listen. Maybe we should glean their wisdom.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's really yes. important.
And we've learned a lot about each other shooting together. We don't necessarily shoot the same things now. We will still shoot together, which is enjoyable. And our child went to college last year, so we kind of started a Friday night date night where we would go shoot different types of things on Friday night. Because we enjoy shooting, we could go do, you know, pick something, let's go shoot it.
So well, I want you to thing. Talk about that when we come back. Let's do that. Don Amdor is the president of the Del Norte Gun Club, talking about gun safety, rifles, handguns, even archery.
Yes.
A lot of fun. We'll be back with Don right after these messages. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Bartow was on the brink of starvation. A former Communist Party official and prosecutor, he became a Christian and was imprisoned in a Romanian labor camp. Noticing Bartow's frailty, a fellow prisoner offered him his own ration of food. He'd been arrested 20 years prior for feeding a fugitive pastor. Bartow asked, "Who gave you such harsh punishment for doing good deeds?" "You did," he said, without bitterness. "You were the state prosecutor at my trial, but Christ taught us to reward evil with good, so now I can show you." Thank God for this example of a Christian who heeded Christ's words to love and pray for our enemies.
"I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things related to life and relationship with God. Life does not always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KLYT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. KLYT presents the Bible School of the Air with a new time. Each Saturday, starting at 12, KLYT will present through the Bible verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith, Skip Heitzig, and Chuck Missler, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We will continue rotating through the Old and New Testament. Drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KLYT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Saturdays at 12 on 88.3 FM.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
A new show is coming to KLYT. It's called Tracks of Light. Saturday nights at 8, following the weekend services at Calvary Church, and Sunday evenings at 6. Tracks of Light traces back to the time you got on track with the light of Christ. For many of us, that happened because of the Jesus music movement that started in the 70s. Tracks of Light also traces how artists got on track themselves. Tell everybody 88.3 is the place to be for Tracks of Light starting Saturday, September 11th. Don Amdor, I don't know if you listen to the old days of Christian music, but I remember my parents when I was listening to some Christian rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
They rolled their eyes at that just like they did regular rock and roll. So I think about that as a very affectionate time.
Yes.
You may not know this, but Calvary Church is an outgrowth of Chuck Smith's church called Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, California.
Okay.
So
mm-hmm.
Chuck, many years ago, 40-plus, well, now probably 50-plus years, would go down to the beach.
Right.
I think, I'm trying to think of the name of the beach. I'll think of it in just a second. But he would go down, and the surfers would be out there,
mm-hmm.
and he would build a bonfire. He'd have a couple guys that could play the guitar, and then he'd buy a bunch of pizzas.
Oh.
So the surfers, you know, men and women, they had no money,
right.
and they'd surf all day because that was their passion, kind of like shooting's your passion.
Right.
And they would come and sit down and have pizza, and he would read the Bible to them, you know, for maybe 20 minutes and
mm-hmm.
just get to know people. And it turned into one of the largest churches in the world.
Incredible.
Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa. And so in those days, there was a big movement of music called the Jesus movement.
Mm-hmm.
And these were just old-time rock and roll guys and people that came up with Christian lyrics.
Right.
And it was very impactful. So Rudy Grande is hosting the show called Tracks of Light. It'll be a lot of fun for people to listen to.
Listen to the...
Yeah.
Awesome.
Remembering the old days.
The old days.
Has shooting changed much? I mean, is like there like new technologies and stuff that make shooting different?
There's always something new. So, I mean, depending on what you shoot, we were talking about precision rifle earlier. A lot of the optics and the way that they manufacture the barrels and the guns, the way they are put together now, so much different than, you know, even 10 years ago. So
yeah.
Handguns... similar to what they are, but most of the handguns are now moving into what they call an optic handgun. So you don't actually have an iron sight anymore. You actually have like a red dot optic on your handgun.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to go nowadays,
yeah.
especially in competition.
And so there's that technology.
That technology taking hold. So
you mentioned earlier that you're involved in three-gun shooting. So does that mean you have scores in shooting like skeet?
So,
with shotgun, tell us about that.
So three gun is actually three different platforms. It's similar to what I talked about with the Defensive Pistol Association. So basically, there's a course of fire set up, different types of things, paper targets, steel targets that fall down with a clay that pops up. So as you're working your way through this course with your different firearms, you are timed, and then you are also scored on procedurals. Did you step over a boundary that you weren't supposed to? Did you, you know, unfortunately shoot a gun at something you weren't supposed to? There's certain things that make it unsafe to shoot that particular gun. But really, it's about time. And there's some accuracy factor in it also. I mean, we can shoot out sometimes to 600 yards in a three-gun competition, although usually it's a little shorter. But, yeah, it's a timed accuracy. And you have to... like I said, I wish I'd gotten into this when I was younger because there's a lot of, you know, younger kids who are getting involved in three gun because it's exciting and it's fast paced.
Now, is this something a family could involve their kids in?
Absolutely. We have families who get involved in three gun. We have a lot of families who get involved in defensive pistol. And the reason that is because if you focus on one particular platform first in competition, you're not having to worry about running three different styles of guns. So we encourage people to try a competition where there's just one platform of gun, defensive pistol. There's also one called USPSA. Try that first with your handgun so that you get used to the timer and the people that are there and, you know, people watching you. That whole thing throws a whole different factor into your shooting.
So you're talking about an obsessive compulsive dad.
Yes.
So five children. I had two volleyball players.
Okay.
I had a ballerina.
Oh,
Okay, that covers my three girls. And then I had two basketball players.
Right.
So every single weekend,
yes,
we were doing something. But there wasn't a way to relieve maybe the stress and the obsessive compulsiveness of their parents because we couldn't go do another sport.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm thinking about this could be a real relief to a lot of kids to go. Just go to the range and go shooting. It'd be a change of pace, something that would be fun, another discipline.
And like this weekend we ran what we call the New Mexico State IDPA Championships, or the Scorcher. We ran it out at the range. 172 shooters from probably 20 different states had come in, including teams from Wilson Combat. These are professional shooters. This is what they do for a living. And we had families. We had complete families of like eight that they now do this as a family. They travel. They stay together as a family. And it's refreshing to see. And we also had the most junior shooters that we've had ever since we've run this event. So we're starting to see this little bit of family, you know, come into this sport, which is incredible because they can all do it together.
So you park out there at the range. You have mm-hmm. a picnic table up.
Absolutely.
You're eating your lunch. You're enjoying camaraderie with your not only your family but other friends and people that you meet.
Absolutely. And we have RV hookups out there. Mm. So this particular event, because it was on Labor Day, we had people out there, you know, with their RVs, and, you know, it was great. It was great to see people getting together and having a great time.
What's the serious side to preserving the right to bear arms? Because there are people that want to take all the guns away.
I think you see people not understanding the importance of what the Second Amendment stands for. It's such a bigger thing than just guns. It's your freedom, it's your integrity, it's your personal protection, and it's your right as an individual to be able to do that. And I think people underestimate and they think it's just about taking guns away, but it's not. It's such a bigger deal than just that gun. So,
well, and I guess, you know, I don't know the political stance that, for example, the NRA takes.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they are probably opposed to giving up nothing, because if you give an inch, the opposition wants a mile.
Absolutely.
But I also understand that people that are scared of guns mm-hmm. and people that see gun violence,
yes,
they also have an argument in that, okay, how did this bad guy, how did this mentally ill person that's never committed a crime get their hands on a handgun? There's some answers for that too.
I think absolutely. I think you see people, and I hate the term gun violence because it's violence in general.
Mm.
I think, you know, whether it was a gun or a knife or a car or a bomb, it's violence. And I think that's where you need to direct legislation, you need to direct the effort, is where as a society did we get this violence? How did that stem? How did that come up? Was it just because they had a gun sitting on the desk? I don't think so. Was it because they had a 10-round magazine and not a 30-round magazine? I think that the violence and the, you know, the movement away from family and the movement away from accountability as an individual has really affected, you see that being affected in all different forms of life, I think, now.
I was reading an op-ed by somebody you know probably well, mm-hmm. Zachary Fort. He's the president of the New Mexico Sports Shooting Association.
Absolutely.
He said in his op-ed in the New Mexico Sun, dated July 6, 2021, so this is recent.
Mm-hmm.
When New Mexico politicians use the term gun violence, they are using it as a rhetorical escape from discussing the real problems that plague our state. What they call gun violence would be more aptly described as failed justice system violence or lack of economic opportunity violence.
Absolutely. Completely agree. I know Zach. I've worked with him on multiple campaigns. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think we are not addressing the problem. I think we do, and I hope people are realizing that the court system has really failed us and really failed the public. They are letting criminals, it's a rotating door. And like I said, evil is evil, and evil is going to be there. how do we control the evil and not all of these different little out factors or tools that evil might use to complete their task?
Well, and again, I'm going to make another analogy. It has to do with cars.
Yes.
You know, drunk driving in our state has been out of control. Now, we've made some headway.
Absolutely.
The last 5 or 6 years. I'll throw in a little caveat that when you legalize marijuana, mm-hmm. in every state where that has happened in the United States, if DUIs have been decreasing mm-hmm. prior to marijuana being approved for recreational use,
right.
every single state that has approved recreational use of marijuana has increased DUIs exponentially. Every single state. I'm nervous about that for New Mexico.
Absolutely. I think as individuals, we need to, you know, we need to be nervous about that because it is going to affect our state. I think more negatively than a lot of people think because we tend to border already on the alcohol dependency.
Well, here's how it ties in. Our judges will say things like, we can't stop people from drinking. And I want to say to them, look, a drunk driver,
mm-hmm.
there's people that have been arrested for DUI 10 times.
Absolutely.
Come on, judges.
Yep.
What are we doing?
Right.
This person should not have the ability to ever drive again.
Correct.
I mean, and I don't want to be that harsh. I think there's always can be healing. People can
people
can get freed up from that addiction. So I don't mean ever. I'm just
right.
being zealous here.
Right.
But I think that they do the same thing with guns.
Absolutely.
Every time something happens with a gun, every time something happens with a crowbar,
mm-hmm.
we're not wanting to ban crowbars,
no.
but I guarantee you bad guys use those as much as they use guns.
Absolutely. Yes. And the now a hacksaw or whatever they use to take off catalytic converters, should we ban those?
That is a great one. Yeah, we better ban hacksaws. There we go.
But yeah, I think you're blaming the tool and you're not getting to the root cause of what is causing this problem.
Yeah. So. Dawn Amdor's in studio. We have one more segment with her. She's the president of the Del Norte Gun Club. I'm really happy to talk with you. This is fun stuff. One more segment with Dawn. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Use your brain is the challenge my coaches would repeat over and over as they taught us about teamwork and winning championships. Hi, this is Jim Williams, host of KLYT's afternoon talk show, ABQ Connect. Mixed messages are coming at us every day from every source imaginable. Guests on ABQ Connect help bring clarity with a faith perspective to the issues of the day, from healthy eating to politics, sports, science, faith, and more. Join us Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock p.m. for ABQ Connect. Or listen at your leisure on the web at abqconnect.online.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. I can't do anything by myself. I rely on friends to help me with everything. And I know that there are literally hundreds of thousands of special needs children and adults right in your local communities who are experiencing the very same struggles every day. But Johnny and Friends New Mexico is doing something to change all that by being the friends of families struggling with disability. With programs like Family Retreats, Warrior Getaways, and Wheels for the World in Peru, Johnny and Friends New Mexico is connecting special needs families to the body of Christ. We bring gospel message hope to those who need Christ most, and we are the hands, feet, and the heart of Jesus right here in your area. Go to johnnyandfriends.org/New Mexico and find out how you can be one of those friends of Johnny and Friends. God can use you to make an eternal difference in the lives of people with disabilities today. Again, that's johnnyandfriends.org/New Mexico.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I want to remind everybody we have a brand new show coming to KLYT. It's called Tracks of Light, Saturday nights at 8 o'clock here on 88.3 KLYT. It'll follow the weekend services at Calvary Church. That we also broadcast here on KLYT, and it'll be an encore playing of the same show evenings on Sunday evenings at 6. Tracks of Light traces back to the time you got on track with the light of Christ. It's hosted by Rudy Grande. You may remember back to the old K-Light days. Rudy was very instrumental in having that whole ministry up and coming, and Tracks of Light will bring us back to the Jesus music movement that started in the 70s. Trends come and go, but the movement is still reviving us today. Tell everybody, 88.3 is the place to be for Tracks of Light, starting Saturday, September 11th. That's this Saturday, 8 o'clock. That's right. Right. Hey, Don, you mentioned earlier in the interview that there's fun things that people, different kinds of things people can shoot out at the range. What are those?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we tend to focus on is we are a sporting clays course. We have two sporting clays courses, and we have a trap and skeet field. So I'm not a shotgun forte. It's not my thing. Mm-hmm. But they have incredible courses out there. So you can go out. You can, you know, like the pull, you know, basically orange little thing uh-huh. comes out, you shoot that. So that's all the sporting clays. We also have a 50-yard steel range. So
by the way, I can shoot clays when they're going away from me, but the cross clays just kill me.
See, you're a good three-gunner. Three-gun, we usually shoot them going up or basically just going away. But, yeah, we have a 50-yard steel range. So you can – it's a handgun range. We have steel. Steel is one of those things that you just live for. It's an immediate gratification when you hear the ping. So that's always fun. We have basically all the target backers out there for people. They bring their own targets, post them up there. But when you're shooting competition, we shoot all kinds of, like I said, steel. We have spinners. We have different kind of plate racks. It's great fun. One of the things that I wanted to mention, too, is that we do have a 4-H. Sandoval County 4-H is out there. If you have kids and you don't know anything about shooting, but you want your kids to get involved, that's a great place to go. And you can go to the Sandoval County 4-H Shooting Sports webpage. I don't have it with me, but you can go there and you can look them up and you can get involved with your kids that way. And it's a great way, like I said, if you don't have a lot of knowledge, they have great instructors there for the
kids. Dalnorty Gun Club website. Give us that one more time. And what information is available there for people?
So pretty much everything that's on our range, all of our competitions, we have a calendar there that will tell you when those competitions are. You do not have to be a member to participate in the competitions. So if you want to come out and shoot sporting clays, the sporting clays shoot, which is usually the second Saturday of the month, you can come out and shoot that. You don't have to be a member. If you want to come out and shoot IDPA, which is defensive pistol, you don't have to be a member. You just come out. That is a day that we open, you know, just for the public to come out and shoot that competition. You're not allowed to be wandering the range, but you can shoot the competitions. So you can see all of that information and get different information on that calendar, contact person, what kind of equipment you might need, things like that. So
what's your favorite?
My favorite handgun is obviously that's where I'm the best, but rifle has become one of my loves. Over the last year, I've really come to appreciate what an AR can do, you know, how well I can shoot it. That's probably, I would say right now, my love.
Okay, I have in my mind a group of women
mm-hmm.
that have met together.
Mm-hmm.
They've been great friends for a long time, years. Is it possible for them to come out to the range and shoot an AR?
So if they have somebody who they know who's a member, that would be an excellent way to do it. We are, and this is going to be a surprise to you, but we are going to begin a women's league shortly. I needed to get through, like, COVID and some other stuff. But there's going to be a women's league out there. There is a women's league in town also called Well Armed Woman. And I know that they would welcome women to come and to do that. It is actually done at a different range. But I advocate if you're a woman and you want to get started in stuff, that's a great resource for you. And you can go, I'm sure you can Google Well Armed Woman and find the contact information for that particular person. But we will be doing a women's only league. So that'll be a great opportunity for women to come out who aren't members, who can do different things. And we'll focus on, you know, different platforms and things like that. So,
you know, it's funny because I have five children. All of my children have enjoyed shooting
mm-hmm.
when they've come out. But I have had some friends that I've taken out shooting that are women.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of my son's fiance right now.
Mm-hmm.
I took her out. Of course, my oldest son really likes shooting. But she did it a couple times and really liked all the discipline and the safety issues and all of those things. But she said, this is just not for me.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that is a very low percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But I admire the fact that she went out, learned
Absolutely.
It, and feels better about people that are well trained and handle firearms.
Absolutely. And I think that's key. That goes back to that education. If we can, you know, have people experience what it's truly like to own and fire some type of gun, I think you take some of that misnomer and some of the, you know, misleadings that people have told them over their lifetime about these particular, you know, firearms. So an AR, for example, we think, you know, if the media thinks they can just fire millions of rounds a minute, and that's not true. So when they go out and they actually shoot a true AR, I think they're surprised. You know, it does take some skill to do it. Not anyone can just pick it up and fire away.
Okay, now these are some things that are fascinating to me. I think you guys call them cans. Mm-hmm. I call them silencers.
Yes.
You can actually...
a suppressor.
People do that, and they do suppress the sound quite a bit.
Well, they suppress it quite a bit, but I think here's where the movies has, you know, the movies have played into our minds, because truly, you hear a suppressor.
Yes.
It's not silent. It's not completely silent. You do
hear. It's not like James Bond.
It's not like James Bond, no.
But it does kind of sound cool.
It does sound cool, and yeah. It is, you know, it's probably the precision rifle shooters, it actually benefits them because the recoil, you know, the follow-up shots, things like that, it makes it easier for them to get those shots.
Years and years ago, I had a bow. It was the first recurve mm-hmm. compound bow. It was called an Oneida Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, it was threw out the arrow faster than any other bow that was there. Now they have technologies with all the pulleys
yeah.
and stuff that are just off the chart.
Absolutely.
Talk to us about the bow shooters.
The bow shooters are a whole different breed. But we appreciate them out at our range. Most of our bow, we see most of our bow people actually, they're on their hunts. So we saw them a couple weeks ago. A lot of compound bows, you know, that's really, I think, where the industry is going. But you do have a lot of traditionalists who they have the recurve bows and they stick with them and they work for them and they love them. So that, I think, you know, there's that old battle, old versus new. So.
Yeah, yeah. What was the Tom Cruise movie where he was a U.S. Cavalry person, alcoholic, went to Japan?
Yes.
He fought on behalf of the samurai.
Yes.
Last Samurai.
Last Samurai.
Last Samurai. I remember when that movie came out. That had to be 12, 15 years ago.
Yes.
And the samurai had these really long, mm-hmm. curved bows.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I saw a couple guys show up with some of those.
Yes.
It's kind of like it sets a...
Yeah, it sets a like old Wild West.
Yeah. Now, are there... and I saw some things Wild West where guys were drawing out of a holster and shooting. Is that still something that happens?
Absolutely. So, yeah. So, it's interesting because holster is the way to go. On our range, we encourage everybody to have a holster because that, if it's on a table... things can happen, it can spin around, but that's all covered in our orientation classes. But really, competition-wise, you have a holster. Three-gun, you actually have a holster, plus you have to carry, you know, sling a rifle potentially, and you have to carry all the ammo for the three different platforms that you're going to. So we have belts, you know, they're weighted down with shotgun shells and rifle mags and things like that. So, but we do have traditional revolver shooters in defensive pistol, and they are some of the most incredible revolver shooters you've ever seen.
Yeah.
So you think of Old West, but boy, they're much better than some of those guys.
Yeah, and of course you're thinking, again, this is kind of irresponsible for the movies, but you'll see somebody standing in a bar
mm-hmm.
and holding a glass of something in their hand, and all of a sudden somebody shoots it out of their hand.
Right.
And of course, didn't hit their hand with the bullet, which is never going to happen.
Right.
But that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You do learn when you handle firearms how dangerous they can be.
Absolutely.
And not much different than driving a car.
No, not much different.
Amen. Don Amdor, president of the Del Norte Gun Club, what a fun time with you.
Great
and I hope
time.
You'll consider coming back on.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.